I believe we have a special treat this morning, some special music. Our UUFM singers are going to sing a song for us.
Told by my meditation teacher. There once was a group of monks who lived in a small village. One spring, there was a lot of rain, and the river near the village began to swell, spilling over its banks. The village was in peril. The villagers feared for their homes and their newly sprouted crops. They began to take their belongings to higher ground and to create sandbags to put near the riverbanks to hold the rising waters at bay. In the face of this danger, the village monks did what monks do. They went to the temple, sat on their prayer cushions, and began to meditate. One young monk was very restless. He was unable to sit still. His mind was wild with worry for the village and for the people. When he could sit no longer, he rose and he cried out, "This is no time to sit!" And he ran out of the temple. The other monks shifted their awareness, saw the wisdom of his words, and followed him to the river to help with the rescue efforts. There is a time for contemplation, and there is a time for action. Sometimes the discernment of which is which, what time is this, can be hard. We often think of these as separate things. There's spirituality or contemplation, and then there's action or social action. Some people even put spirituality and social action in opposition to each other. Some believe that a spiritual and contemplative life is lived away from the world, separate from the world, not of this world. Unitarian Universalists are all about being in this world. We are called to create heaven here on earth. Our Universalist forebears focused less on doctrine and more on the practical application of the Spirit. They are the source of our rallying cry, "Deeds, not creeds." Our humanist tradition further supports this stance, saying that there is no supernatural being that determines what happens in the world. It's up to us to use our reason, science, and ethics for economic and social justice. I've heard many stories about how adults find their way to their first UU church. Some are looking for spirituality, so they come to the services. They take some classes, and they find that their spirituality leads them to work for social justice in the world. Some are looking for social justice, and so they come to marches and public witness events, and they find that their social action leads them to deepen their spirituality. We are both spiritual, and activists. We won't tell you what your spirituality is or even that you have to use that word. We won't tell you what causes or movements you should work for. We leave that up to you. Our fourth principle tells us that we affirm and promote a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We are each on a journey to find our own way, and we come together in community to get support for our journey. Often what we find is that our spiritual life must express itself ethically. It's how we bring our social and ethical values into the public arena. Out of the ethical foundation of our first principle, where we recognize the inherent worth and dignity of all people, comes the second principle. It says that we affirm and promote justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. The second principle is our call to action. Compassion literally means to suffer together. When we feel the pain with another, we are motivated into action to alleviate their need. We can think of compassion as a spiritual practice, and yet it leads us to act for justice. Lutheran theologian Joseph Sittler said that justice is love operating at a distance. Compassion also leads us to act for equity. Our principle says equity, not equality. Equality suggests sameness. We should all get the same. Equity suggests fairness. We should all get what we need. We work for equity because we recognize that our systems are inherently unequal. There are some who are favored and others who are not. We don't seek equality because some inequality is what is needed to balance out the biases that live in our systems. We seek fairness for those who are disfavored, those who are poor in a capitalist system, those who are black or brown in a system that favors white, and those who are vulnerable in a system that favors power. The Sufi are the Muslim mystics, and they have a traditional story that goes like this. A religious seeker sat on a prayer rug in the center of the city. The seeker watched as many people went by, those with disabilities, those asking for money, and those who had been beaten. Seeing them, the seeker went into a deep prayer and finally looked to the heavens and cried out, "Dear God, how can this be? How is it that a loving creator can see such things and do nothing about them?" And out of a long and deep silence, God said, "I did do something about them. I made you." I picture spirituality and social action in an infinite loop. They feed each other and flow together. When we listen to the call of spirit or God or principles, we work for justice. And when we look for the source of our action, we find spirit. Many of us want both spirit and action in our lives. Great social justice activists like Jesus and Gandhi had both. There were times when they were very much in the public eye, working for justice, and other times when they withdrew for rest and calm, rejuvenation, and reconnection with the values and spirit that called them into action in the first place. One of the most sacred stories in the Christian Bible is of just such a time, the story of Jesus in the garden. The Gospels tell us that Jesus celebrated a Seder dinner with his followers. Seder is a ritual meal eaten during the Jewish holiday of Passover, the celebration of the ancient Jews' release from slavery in Egypt and eventual settlement in the Promised Land. This is an important Jewish story of many things, including freedom from oppression. Jesus lived in a time when the Jews, his people, were once again suffering under oppression, this time not from the Egyptians, but from the Romans. He taught about freedom, about love, about care for each other, and especially for those who suffered. He challenged those in power, and he did not fly under the radar. He tipped over tables in the temple. They knew of him, those who were in power, and they knew they'd have to deal with him at some point. And it seemed likely to me that Jesus also knew this. He knew that the powers that be could not ignore his teaching because it challenged their right to be in power. He spoke truth to power, and power can't allow that. I can imagine that on that evening of the Seder dinner, Jesus had a sad heart, a tired soul, and a worried mind. He knew that things would come to a head at some point. The Gospels tell us that after the Seder dinner, Jesus withdrew to Gethsemane, an olive garden nearby where he had often gone to pray. They describe him as distressed, agitated, and deeply grieved as he contemplated what might be before him. He prayed for release, and he prayed for strength. And then he rose, and he went to meet his fate. Just as our spirituality calls us to action, it also restores us when we are weary and worried. Social justice work is hard, frustrating, and wearing. We are asked to sacrifice. So we need reminders of why we do this work in ways that fill us up again and that give us strength. In his message to Congress in September, Pope Francis reminded them of the tireless and demanding pursuit of the common good, reminding them also of their mission. Whatever we might call it, God, principles, spirit of life, values, whatever we call it, it calls us to action. It calls us to justice, equity, and compassion. It calls us to love. UU minister Kenneth Collier says, justice, equity, and compassion are different names for the same thing, and that thing is love. It is what calls us to repair the world, to create the beloved community, and in doing so, to repair ourselves. We are the spirit of life embodied. At the beginning of our service, we sing the song Spirit of Life. We join people in hundreds of UU congregations around the country who sing this beautiful prayer as a part of their service every Sunday. The composer of this song, Carolyn McDade, tells the story of its creation this way. She was weary from a lifetime of social activism, tired from repeated marches and sit-ins and disappointments and setbacks, tired not with her community, but with the world. She felt like a piece of dried cardboard that would easily turn to dust and blow away. Returning home one evening after yet another social justice event, she sought solace at her piano, as she often does. And as she sat and asked Spirit to be with her, this prayer came to her. It flowed through her fingers and her voice, and into the world. As she played it, It filled her spirit and rejuvenated her soul. Over the years, Carolyn shared her song with groups of women in singing circles, and it quickly spread. When those who created our gray hymnal selected songs to be included, it was clear that this one needed to be included as well. And at Carolyn's insistence, it is in our hymnal, not in the section of prayers, but in the section labeled love and compassion. Carolyn says that she didn't intend to write a hymn. It was just what she needed at the time. It was what spoke to her heart. It is a living prayer. Sing in my heart all the stirrings of compassion. And it is a call to action. Move in the hand, giving life the shape of justice. It is the spirit of life embodied, and it moves through us. There is a time for contemplation and a time for action. We gather on Sunday mornings to be together, to sing and pray together. We come to step outside of our daily routine, to have the time and space to reconnect with that still, small voice that is within us. We come to be reminded that we are connected to something larger, whatever it is that we might call it. We come to be filled up again so that we may go out and do the work that needs to be done, the work that we are called to do, both inside and outside these walls. There is much work to do. After the service today, you will have the opportunity to discern how you might be involved in the work of this fellowship. It is one way that we can put our values into action. I invite you to stay and talk to the many leaders of the ministries of this fellowship to see the work that we do for each other and for the world. I believe that we are at our best when our head, our heart, and our hands are in alignment. That's when we experience the flow of the Spirit within us that calls us to work for justice in the world. Yes, there is much to do, and yes, we get weary and worried. The list of things to worry about and work for seems to grow every day. There's climate change, there's animal rights, there's gun violence, there's human rights. And when I feel tired and overwhelmed, I remember these words from Unitarian minister Edward Everett Hale. I am only one, but I am still one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. We can all do something. And when we join together, we can do mighty, mighty things. And on this Dia de los Muertos, All Souls Day, we remember that we are carrying on the work of the many who came before us. We honor them by continuing our work for justice, equity, and compassion. May the spirit of life that is within us, between us, and all around us fill us up as we go into the world to do the work that must be done. And may it be so. I invite you now into a time of meditation, reflection, or prayer. Let us hold silence together. This is your opportunity to ask questions or offer comments about the connection between spirituality and social action. Marching in Selma with Martin Luther King Jr., this is praying with my feet.
I like the quote that you shared at the end about sometimes it can be very overwhelming because there's so many things that you see that you want to contribute to or help with. And even if you do just one small thing, at least that's something. And it's better than doing nothing. I like that.
I'm glad. Have you all been hearing all the stuff on the news about the big one, the big earthquake that's going to? Yeah, I heard an interview with a psychologist who deals in trauma talking about preparation for the big one, and he said, it's just so overwhelming, we can't even figure out what the first thing is that we should do. And so we do nothing. Mm-hmm. And so maybe we could just do something
small.
I like what's been going around on Facebook right now. There's a couple of folks in Yamhill County that have started the DLVRU. It's kind of like the ice bucket thing? But yeah, it's like that. But it's doing something in your community, so doing something for it locally. Just one thing, and then you nominate three other people to do it. And I love that kind of thing where it is that do one small thing, but if a bunch of us all do a small thing, it's going to have a huge impact. So I've been enjoying watching that start. Hopefully that will grow. Better My Town, that's what it's called. Thank you, Ken. A small act can spread so far, and this small act that you do just one time might be something 10 years later a person remembers, go, wow, that really made a difference on my life and it impacted me.
Thank you all. Oh, sorry, Beth.
I had something happen to me yesterday that was just a tiny thing, but it's not after listening to you all today. I was at the cash register and I was trying to have enough change to just unload it all, and I didn't. I had more dollars, but the gal behind me didn't know that, and she just immediately offered a dollar to me so that I wouldn't be embarrassed by not having enough change. So I told her, I said, that is so kind of you. Thank you so much for that. I'm not going to take it, but thank you. And she said, well, somebody did that to me once, and I'm passing it on. So when the clerk, I gave the clerk the dollar, the extra dollars that I had, and ended up with more change. So I took all of the change that I had and put it in the I didn't even know what the cause was, but it was right there next to the little, you know, tray where the money comes out. And I turned to her and I said, see what you got started? And she goes, well, that's nice. I like that. And I said, yeah, me too, because one thing I've learned over the years is violence begets violence, and kindness begets kindness. When you really think about that, it does do that. And when you are around too much violence, it's amazing how hard your heart can get. And so I was thinking of just her walking away, and I thought, I don't even know that woman, but that was a kindness that stayed with me. It has a rippling effect. And I had no idea I would tell you folks this today. So see, kindness begat something in me that's going to begat something in you.